Welcome back in, everybody. This is Catfish on Ice. We're episode 218 on this beautiful day here, brought to you by DraftKings. It's your host, Chad Minton, and we got a really outstanding guest joining us today. It's Clay Brewer, part of Nashville Hockey Now. I'm really pumped to have him join the show. I've been following his content, and I'm really glad I've discovered your stuff lately, Clay, because you're just another great voice for the Smashville community. There's so many talented people out here covering this hockey team right now, and you're one of them. Clay, how are you doing, man?
I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's kind of nice to have different perspectives with the Nashville scene, because it might be known as more of a smaller market, but it's really great to join you today and kind of talk contracts and a little bit more.
For sure. And Clay just kind of hinted at it. We are having an overall theme here of looking at contracts, the trade deadline that's less than 2 months away now. One of my favorite parts of the hockey calendar, because there's so many rumors to break down. There's so much drama and there's buzz and there's all this. So we're going to dive into that, because the Predators are kind of a mystery right now. We really don't know what they're going to do with Barry Trotz. So me and Clay are really about to get into that and look at it. But also, and Clay's got a lot of knowledge on this as well. We're going to look at the Predators have a very interesting situation right now, because they've got so many unrestricted free agents coming up in the 2024 offseason. They've got the most projected cap space. They're in like the top five last time I checked. We're going to look at that in terms of cap space. So they've got some things to work through. So me and Clay are both going to look into what could Barry Trotz be thinking right now. Also, with around I think it's 19 games. Am I right, Clay? That the Predators still have to play before the deadline. It's around that number.
Roughly, it's March 8th, so I haven't done the counting, but I believe it's roughly around there. Correct.
It's around there, yeah. So there's still a lot that can obviously change in the standings. Will that affect Trotz's strategy at all, or should he already kind of know what he wants to do? We're going to break that down, and we're also going to, if the Predators do decide to go shopping a little bit on the trade market, who are some players out there that could maybe fit this team, if any? So a lot to get into, but before we start this all off here, Clay, tell us how you got into covering the Predators. And because just like me, my story is that I have a degree in journalism, but honestly, I do this as a labor of love, and it's just a passion. So Clay, how did you get into covering the Predators? Also, I want to let everyone know, this is how you can follow Clay and his work on X, and formerly known as Twitter. It's at Clay Brewer 10. Also, follow Nashville Hockey Now at NSH Hockey Now. That's on X, formerly known as Twitter. Go follow their content. They do outstanding work, and it just goes to show you that the community is really growing that covers this outstanding Nashville Predators team. So, yeah, Clay, tell us how you got into it.
Yeah, well, first of all, I really appreciate the kind words you said there. We enjoy your work as well. It's nice to have a community, as I said before. But I'm a Nashville native, so born and raised. I was a season ticket holder growing up with my parents since 98. I played growing up. I played at the AAA level, so I was kind of one of the first few teams in the Southeast that kind of would travel to the Detroits, the Torontos, and things like that to kind of have a higher level of hockey in Nashville. So the Preds really brought that here, and I just fell in love with it. And then as I was growing older, I have a passion for languages. So I speak Russian as well. And so with that hockey connection, I went to Jan Kaminski's hockey camp in Atlanta every summer, and just kind of tied those two passions together. And now I'm a practicing attorney in Nashville downtown. And it's nice to kind of bring that contract knowledge of what I do to it day to day. And then, like you said, it's more of like a labor of love of just covering the Preds. I've always followed them. I've always loved hockey across the board, all different angles, even the business of hockey. And so bringing kind of like my day job as well, then also my passion together to a team I grew up watching is really a blast.
That's awesome, man. And, you know, as you can see, you're perfect for the theme of this segment we're doing today for episode 218, because we're about to look at some contracts here. We're about to look at all that stuff. That's a really cool story, man. Especially speaking Russian. I don't meet a lot. There's not many people you meet in your everyday life. Yeah. Me personally, I would love to have a 30-minute segment. It wouldn't be hockey related, just on learning to speak Russian. Because that's just incredible in and of itself. But We're going to save that for maybe another time during the offseason when there's not a lot of hockey news going on, maybe. Mm-hmm. But let's get into it here. Catfish and Ice, episode 218, with our special guest, Clay Brewer of Nashville Hockey Now. And I want to start with this. This just came out yesterday. Daily Faceoff, Frank Saravelli, one of the top insiders for the NHL, covers the NHL. They put out team by team what each team's trade deadline strategy could be according to them. And for the Predators, Clay, they have top objective, stay the course, but they have them as sellers, though. And the big thing they're pinpointing here, Clay, and I want to get your thoughts on this, is the pending free agents that are coming up here in the offseason, Yakov Trenin and Tommy Novak. They're both unrestricted free agents. Of course, we know about Tyson Barrie and how we're trying to unload him. Just overall outlook from you, Clay. How do you see right now, if we asked Barry Trotz and he had to answer this, where do you think his mind is at right now looking at the trade deadline?
Sure. Right now, I think Trotz is more staying the course because, as you said at the outset of the conversation, we don't really know who this team is. They've played some incredible hockey, but then they've also had some stinkers at home where Saros got pulled and it's kind of lights out in the first period, 6-1 to Edmonton, 6-1 in John Hines' return. So the biggest question is, who is this team? And if you don't have a genuine identity, it's hard to make a strategy to fill gaps that you don't know exist or that you see exist now but might not exist in the future. So I think stay in the course and you're answering the calls to see what might be available, what contenders might be interested in certain players that you have, whether it's core players, whether it's maybe Kevin Lankinen to go to a contender for a goaltending, something like that. And then, as you said, maybe the Tyson Barries who are asking for trades, maybe the Dante Fabros or the Alex Carriers, if you don't believe in one of those, you maybe shop them for some assets down the line. But other than one personal favorite player that I have that I think that the Preds should go after, I don't think they should really do much. They should maybe offload some players. As you said, there's a lot of UFAs. I think there's 9 just UFAs on the active roster. Mm-hmm. So who do you see in that vision? And I think the real competition comes this summer with like the Afanasyev, the Svechkovs, the Stasnys, the Delgazos, the Kemmels of the world. Are they ready for the next step? That's kind of what I would look at because the Preds aren't, to be honest here, they're not a contender. So you don't need to treat this deadline as if you are.
I
playoffs and make some great revenue. That's fantastic for the ownership. Yep. Great for the fans and this new movement that's coming in with Trotz, Burnett, et cetera. But you don't want to break the bank or really do anything crazy without knowing who you are.
I'm on board with you there. And that's what a lot of fans right now that I'm interacting with are afraid of, is that we don't know with Barry Trotz. He's never gone through a trade deadline, as we know, at least not as an acting GM. And so we don't really know what he has hinted and he's kind of nibbled at it a little bit. But I mean, as we just said, there's still some games that have to be played. We don't know where the Predators are going to be at in the standings when that time comes, because this team is so unpredictable night in and night out. They lay a dud against the Ducks and then they come out and go into a back and forth battle and beat the Stars on the road. You just never know what you're going to get out of this team. And so with 19 or so games left before the deadline, we don't know where this team's going to be in the standings. But I'm with you, Clay, when it comes to this team cannot get overly zealous on the trade deadline market. My first thing I say reason with that is this isn't really an overly enticing trade market to begin with. There's not a player out there that I see that's just going to completely transform this team and suddenly make them a Stanley Cup contender. So you're hoping that Barry Trotz has the long game in mind. And I'm more worried about these pending free agents than I am the trade deadline. You know, the first player that comes to mind for me, and I'm getting a lot of pushback on this, and I understand because he's a fan favorite, but it's Yakov Trenin for me. Mm-hmm. Where is the future plans for him? Because I think he's going to demand a really well-deserved pay raise. And so I want to break off and ask you about that player in particular, Clay. And what do you see happening with Yakov Trenin? He's the biggest unrestricted free agent that's a mystery to me right now.
Mm-hmm. I really like Trenin. I think that he falls into an interesting category that neither fits into like a genuine Trotz of the coaching era system, and then neither a Burnett kind of high-flying speed offense that Burnett's trying to get into to play. But I think he has a really nice niche if you can get him at the right price. So right now he's on his second year. He'll be a UFA, as you said, at $1.7 million. And two summers ago, that was decided by a neutral arbiter. So he was not acceptable to what the Preds wanted to offer him at the beginning. And so they actually went to arbitration, and that's how they got that 1.7 times two valuation. So if he maybe the 1.7 valuation is okay, or go a little bit lower for maybe some term, but if you get in the two or two plus range, despite my love for the player and how I think he fits that gritty kind of style and can bring some offense at times, it might be time to part ways in that regard. But I'm with you. I would like to see him come back, but it really comes down to what happens with the other eight unrestricted free agents, then the two or three restricted free agents, and then the free agents that are in Milwaukee that you might see coming up. What fans want to happen sooner rather than later, but Trotz likes to kind of marinate. So it'll be interesting kind of how that dichotomy plays out going into the summer.
Yeah, definitely. So going deeper into what Frank Cervelli says right now on Daily Faceoff, he brings up that Trotz will get calls on some players with term, like Colton Sissons, pending restricted free agent Dante Fabro, and maybe even his goaltenders in UC Saros or Yaroslav Askarov. And so, you know, we've done this in past episodes, and all the fans out there, I'm sure you've seen Clay, are talking about it right now with the goalies. You know, I don't think anybody is leaning very heavily into thinking that Trotz is going to pull the trigger on UC Saros. But of course, we never know. We never know what's going to happen. But there's a lot to chew on right now with this team. And that's kind of why we're having this segment with Clay Brewer of Nashville Hockey Now right now, because even though we're just under 2 months away from the deadline, it's on March 8th. We got to start talking about this now because there's a lot to sort out.
I would agree. And I think there's four players that kind of come into play. Obviously, you're going to take phone calls, and then general managers are going to make phone calls. Even if it's Crosby, Ovechkin, et cetera, you're going to call because that's just dereliction of duty as a general manager, right? You might get hung up on, but you got to call and ask what might make your team better. So in saying that, I think there's four players that the Preds could get some value out of come deadline time. And I think that it would be wise with the current trajectory and what Trotz and Burnett are trying to do, they'll make this team go forward. So that's Tyson Barrie. I like the player. I like the human, but he just seems to want out. So it seems like Trotz is seeking to acquiesce to that. It would be Dante Fabro, Alex Carrier. So they are both going to be free agents this summer. So Dante will be a restricted free agent, whereas Alex Carrier will be an unrestricted free agent. But they also kind of had the back and forth last summer. So these are more so make it year. So who does Burnett and Trotz believe fits the system going forward between those two? And then the one that I'm big on is Kevin Lankinen. And I don't think that we should, that the Preds should trade Lankinen because he's not a good player, because he doesn't fit in the system. But I think that he has the ability to bring back value, and some of the teams that are more cap constrained could use him as a contender. I think he's a bona fide, at least 1B goaltender in this league. And obviously it's going to be tough playing behind UC Saros to kind of get those minutes that he might be more deserving of. But that's something that I really find interesting to see what might occur.
Yeah, I've had this pinpointed for a while as well on Kevin Lankinen, and the fact that I was kind of surprised that he was brought back to begin with this past offseason. I thought he was going to move on because his first season in Nashville, he put up really great numbers, and he's regressed a little bit this year, but he's still put out some gems, and he's still shown that he's a very top tier backup goalie that you can trust. And I think you would be very mistaken if you're the Nashville front office right now to not, like you said, Clay, you're not trading him because he's playing poorly. You're trading him because he has outperformed what he's as a backup. He's outperformed himself. And there's always going to be teams out there, contending teams, who really, really need a goalie. Edmonton, Toronto are two teams that you think of first when it comes to teams that would be very interested in adding a Kevin Lankinen right now. So that's a big one. And it would be tough for the Predators to swallow to trade him away. But if you can get some assets, you got to do it, because you're probably not going to bring him back this offseason, because you've got Yaroslav Askarov, who is seemingly, you would think, ready for the NHL. I could not see them trotting Askarov back out for a full season in Milwaukee next season. That would seem kind of like he wasn't ready for that. What do you think about that, Clay, about with the Askarov factor? What do you think about that?
I would agree. So I read an article recently kind of about the three big questions the Preds face halfway through the season. And I kind of talked about the goaltending situation pretty specifically. So I think a perfect trade target, this is just me speaking freely here, don't have sources on this or anything, but the New Jersey Devils for Lincoln would be, I think, a phenomenal fit, just personally thinking. I mean, he's a very low cap, so he's $2 million, but because of it being prorated and where we are at the season, it'd be roughly $900,000 if the Preds didn't retain any of that. And so the Preds are able to retain one more salary because they already are retaining Ryan Johansson and Matthias Ekholm. So you can have three for any season when you come to salary retention. But I'm really adamant on shopping Lankinen because, one, I think you can get some kind of value. You're not going to get a first round, maybe a sixth, for example. But more so, that gives you a month or so at the end of the season, absent playoffs even, to bring up Askarov and see what you might have. And I think that Saros is a phenomenal goaltender. Individuals that say that he's done or washed up or not a bona fide goaltender, I think are wrong. The reason is just he's been playing so many games lately, and I think he's just exhausted. And then on the opposite side, I think Lankinen would have higher numbers if he was given an opportunity to play more and demonstrate his ability. So I think with the speed that the NHL is going, a 1A, 1B is what a lot of teams will start to adopt, more like a Boston Bruins mentality between Swayman and Ullmark, where you kind of split the games or maybe have more of a 60-40 split. So I think having that extra month with Saros and Askarov together leading into the summer, leading into next season, I think that would set you up for success. And then with both, Askarov will be a restricted free agent next summer of 2025, and Saros will be an unrestricted free agent. You can then kind of know what you should do with those contracts as well. Is Askarov ready? Has he shown enough to maybe shop him? Is Saros ready for maybe his final contract? Do you want to shop him as a UFA at the deadline? You're kind of setting yourself up for success to then know what you have. And that's very important as opposed to going in blindly with hope in a prospect or a bona fide goaltender.
I'm right on board with it. You're preaching to my choir right now, man, because I've been saying that you can't go into next season completely blind on what you have with Yaroslav Askarov on the NHL level. If you trade, I think if you trade him now, you're not getting an accurate measurement on what he could be because he's only played two NHL games or started two NHL games. So you don't know what he's shown has been pretty positive, and what he's doing in Milwaukee right now is just absolutely incredible with posting shutouts left and right. So that's another really big wrinkle into what the Predators are going to possibly do at the trade deadline. But let's flip it on its side a little bit here and just talk hypothetically here because we don't know. What if the Predators were to be cautious buyers at the trade deadline and they were to go against the script or against the grain here and shop a little bit? I'm not personally endorsing this, so don't come at me, everybody. I'm saying if it were to happen. I look at the trade market right now, and you know, the Calgary Flames are massive sellers. It looks like they've underperformed this year. They're kind of hanging around, but they've got so many big free agents, they can't keep them all. So that's a team that a lot of people are talking about with Elias Lindholm, Chris Tanev. They've got some guys, but nothing that fits the Predators. So I don't really think that affects the Predators at all. But I want to ask you, Clay, do you see any – we're being joined by Clay Brewer of National Hockey Now. If you're just joining on YouTube or if you're just listening to the podcast just now, are there any guys, any trade deadline targets that are being mentioned right now that you think could maybe make sense for the Predators if they were to add somebody?
I'm not sure if many people are really talking about it, but I would go very hard and not just call around on Andrei Kuzmenko of the Vancouver Canucks. He's 27, so a little bit older maybe than the core of the Predators coming up. But I think he is a genuine goal scorer, and that is a position that this Preds team desperately needs. Other than the first line, Nyquist, O'Reilly, Forsberg, and then Evangelista's kind of stepped up recently, and a few secondary scorers as well. They need a goal scorer. So I would go hard for Andrei Kuzmenko, especially because it doesn't seem like Rick Tocchet of Vancouver has been setting him a lot. I'm not sure if it's just more he's not playing the style. They don't really think there's a fit in that new system in Vancouver. He has a modified no trade clause, so he'd probably have to acquiesce to any trade unless the Predators are on his okay list. But his agent is Daniel Milstein, who also represents Afanasyev, Askarov, and Svechkov. So there is a bit of a rapport there between Trotz and Milstein. So I would go for them. I think the Preds need a goal scorer, and I would go hard for a goal scorer.
Yeah, I mean, if they feel like that's what they want to do, I think Trotz would recognize that this if Trotz really wants to go in all in and he wants to push for the playoffs. Now, I think this current team can make the playoffs without making any decisions at the trade deadline. They're good. They've clearly demonstrated that. But, you know, Preds fans are really annoyed by it because that's what this team's been for years now. It's not about being a playoff contender. It's about, are you ready to win the big cup, the big Stanley Cup that this franchise has never won? Are you ready to actually get out of the first round for the first time since 2018? Many fans don't think that's the case, and there's nothing on the trade deadline market that's going to change that without completely mortgaging your future, which nobody wants to see happen because that could just prolong this rebuild that this team has been pushing off for years now. So it makes it really difficult, but I do like that decision. If you're going to target anything, it should be pure goal scorers. They're kind of hoping that Denis Garionov can rectify that a little bit. What if you, I'm going off on a little bit of a side off ramp here, yeah. Clay, but I apologize for that. But it kind of just you kind of sparked my intrigue on this with Garionov being up here. What have you seen his play lately? Do you think that he has played well enough to stick around? Because you mentioned also go into his contract details a little bit on why he's not waiver. Why he's waiver exempt under certain clauses with his explain that to the fans because it went over my head as well, and you were so kind and correcting me on it and I appreciated that because some of this stuff gets really complicated. So go into that a little bit, and do you think Garionov could maybe help rectify some of these depth scoring needs that the Predators have right now?
I think he's played really well, and I think that it's justified him staying on their current roster. So the Preds were going through about 40 games this season, a man down on what they ordinarily could carry. So they were carrying 22 players when you can have an active roster of 23. But he needs to get on the score sheet more, but I've seen a lot from him that makes me excited. So he had a lot of great chances against the Islanders. I mean, he had two games against the Stars, his former team, so that's kind of interesting as well. Mm-hmm. But if he can get on the score sheet, I think his character alone has really given him a shot because it's not easy being a active roster NHL player for multiple years, being a touted individual out of the NHL draft, and then signing a contract in Nashville and being sent to Milwaukee before the season even starts. That's going to be a gut check to any man. I don't care how strong you are. Mm-hmm. And so to know that he has that mental resolve, it goes back to what Trotz and then the veterans of like Luke Shins, Ryan O'Reilly's, Ryan McDonough's of the world have said that culture matters, and that really fits into that culture. If he can get on the score sheet, I think it would be really, really great for him. He's been playing, I believe, with Sissons and Trennan, right? Yeah. I believe that's right. And I've really liked the character kind of that entire line. It's a scorer, a grinder, and then just a guy in Sissons who does it all.
And it kind of shows that Andrew Brunett is very – he's very open-minded right now to plugging players in, letting them prove themselves on the ice. Mm-hmm. He's done that all season with his lines, with his line combinations. It's not seniority rules all here. He's been very, very creative in the way he's done some of these line combinations. I mean, he put Garionov on the second line, if mm-hmm. I'm remembering correctly, in his debut for the Predators. He's putting shots on goal. He's making things happen. And when you think about a player like Garionov and his position right now, a lot of people have given up on his NHL career after being a top 10 pick. But the guy's hungry. He's playing hard. And I loved, Clay, how you just brought up that he started off in Milwaukee. You want to talk about having the utmost respect for a player who puts his ego aside. You know, he might not want to be in Milwaukee. he was probably very dejected to not make the roster out of training camp. I was surprised personally when he didn't make the roster, but he kept plugging away. He kept battling. He kept grinding. That's what impresses coaches. That's what impressed Andrew Burnett. I can promise you that. And as we just mentioned, he's going to be a restricted free agent as well, or an unrestricted free agent this offseason. So common theme with a lot of these free agents, it's a prove it year right now. So a lot of these players playing for the Predators right now are, yeah, they're playing because they want to make the playoffs. They want to win. They want to win the ultimate prize this year, but they're also secondarily, they're playing for a contract right now. That's just the way it goes. And there's a lot of players on this Predators team who are playing for contracts. So we're going to get you out of here with this. We've been joined by Clay Brewer of Nashville Hockey Now with this final question that I'm going to ask Clay. I'm going to give you two. You can pick two here because there's so many free agents. I'll let you pick two. Who are your top two pending free agents that are priorities that the Predators need to re-sign? You don't want to see them traded. They need to be re-signed. I'll give you my answer first, and then I'll see what you say. For me personally, it's Tommy Novak and it's Alexander Carrier. Those are my top two. I'll give you this, and then I'll see what you say, Clay. And you can push back on me if you disagree with me. But when it comes to Tommy Novak, I think it's pretty obvious. I think a lot of people are going to be in agreement there. Tommy Novak has completely outperformed his expectations. He wasn't a big prospect coming up, and he's just – all he needs is a little consistency. He was out of the lineup with injury for a little bit, and he's overcome. He's still putting up nearly a point-per-game pace. He's a little behind his pace right now, but that's okay. You got to get him re-signed. That's got to be one of your top priorities. You got to keep him in Nashville. And then I'm a big believer in Alexander Carrier. He's had some defensive lapses here and there, but I think the whole defense has had, up to Roman Josi, has had defensive lapses this year. So I'm not going to hold that against him too much. I believe in Alexander Carrier as a player who worked his tail off through the system to finally get up to the Predators lineup and be a regular. So I think those are my top two priorities. Who are your top two priorities for the Predators to re-sign right now as free agents?
I would agree with Tommy Novak. He's struggled a bit since he came back from injury, so it kind of makes me uneasy. Is he finally regressing to the mean that Trotz mentioned during training camp and kind of leading up to this season? I think around the $2.5 million range, maybe for 2 years, to see if he can keep doing it. But he's probably going to want to cash out to some degree. But if you can get him in around the 2.5 range, maybe 3 years, I think that would be ideal. But I think bringing him back, and it really depends on what you see the other centers doing well. So like the Glasses, the Parsons, the Svechkovs, all of them, where does he fit into when it comes to that? And then it's tough. So when it comes to unrestricted free agents, I guess I would say Carrier but as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I'm kind of torn on Fabro or Carrier, who really fits in. So I think post trade deadline, it would be really interesting to see if either one of those are moved for any kind of assets. And that would kind of gauge how I respond to that question. But then when it comes to RFAs, I mean, obviously the Preds get a first right of refusal kind of thing with those players, but Yusuf Parsonen, I'm a huge Yusuf Parsonen fan. So I think bringing him back and slotting him into the active roster for a long period of time is definitely huge.
And then, that's a good – let me just really quick before you go on there. I like that you brought up Yusuf Parsonen there because he is on an ELC, and that ELC is about to be expired. And so he's an RFA. Also, Philip Tomasino is an RFA. So you would expect the front office to be fully invested in both of those players and re-sign those players. But, yeah, go ahead. Sorry to cut you off, Clay. I just wanted to mention that real quick.
No worries, because going into this summer, the Preds will have roughly $26.9 million to play with an increased cap going to $86.675 million. But it's going to be interesting because the Duchesne buyout goes up $3 million this year. And then you're still paying Kyle Turris's buyout, kind of thing like that. So it's small things that are kind of adding up that takes away money out of your pocket. But then before we break, I didn't answer your question on Gurionov previously. I thought I'd chime in. So when it comes to the waiver ability, so because he was waived before the season started and he cleared, he's able to come up this season for a minimum of 10 NHL games or a cumulative of 30 days on the active roster. If he exceeds those two numbers, it's an either or, even though the CBA says and, makes zero sense. But he's then has to go back through waivers. And I believe he'll be on game five come Thursday, I believe it'll be game five. But right now, if up until then, they can send him back and he would be waiver exempt, which is great. And that's why it happened to Jankowski previously this season as well.
So do you think that that's what they'll probably do? Do you think they'll send him back to Milwaukee so that they have to, so that they can avoid him having to go on waivers? Or how do you see that shaking out real quick?
I think he needs to get back on the stat sheet, but I want to keep him. I think he's been really great. I think he fits this system. I think he's proven in Milwaukee all that he can prove, his character and his play. I mean, he's been scoring goals and good goals at that. I think he knows what it takes to get back in the league. And so not to kind of throw a wrench in your question, but
no,
I think we'll see some interesting moves going forward. So does a current Admiral come up? Do we see a Cody Glass wave? Do we see a Kiefer Sherwood wave? I think those are the bigger questions that should be answered, because the current roster seems to be kind of stabilized with some common names being in the healthy scratch category each night.
Yeah, definitely. And it really comes down to, you can't keep everybody. It's a pretty common slogan that people say all the time. You know, just because a player gets waived doesn't mean that player wasn't good, or that they're a bad player, or that they won't find a better landing spot somewhere else. It's just the nature of the beast. You can't keep everybody you want to keep. And it seems pretty inevitable that the Predators are going to lose some players they don't want to lose. I look at Kiefer Sherwood as a prime example that might be a player that you don't want to lose, but you just can't keep that player. There's not room to play them on the NHL. There are tweeners, you know, like they're good enough to be on the NHL level, but are they good enough to justify them taking a roster spot away from another player?
Right.
But yeah, like you said, Clay, once you go to that point of no return with Garionov, then you do have to keep him in the lineup for the rest of the year, because I do think that obviously if he's warranting playing time, the other teams would snatch him up in a heartbeat on the waiver wire if he proves that. So we're all going to have to really watch Garionov and how he performs in these next few games before that happens. So Clay, I really want to have you back on, man. We've been joined by Clay Brewer of Nashville Hockey Now. This has been one of my favorite guest interviews I've had in a while. It's been so knowledgeable. You bring a ton of good stuff, and we'd love to have you on again.
I really appreciate it. I had a blast. I could talk about this for hours. So we've got the sake of our audience here, right?
Oh, we could keep talking until the sun goes down behind me. But we're gonna have you on again for sure whenever you have time. Definitely before the trade deadline, we'll get you on again if you have time. But this has been Clay Brewer of Nashville Hockey Now, part of Catfish on Ice, episode 218. Thank you for listening to the episode. Go check out our live episode later on our YouTube channel as well. Until then, we hope you all have a great rest of your week. Stay warm out there. Until then, go Preds. Take care. Stripe.